Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. Really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Now, those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, orange men and ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe at Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there. Join the militia. Thank you for tuning in and hanging out with us. We appreciate all of you. This is your Albany post-game show. You'll hear from us and we'll hear from you in fan feedback. A little late there, Joe.
I know.
On the 62-24 win over U of Albany. What should we take away from it? We don't know. We'll get into all of that. And your thoughts. But first, what coach have to say?
Sean Tucker's performance, over 100 yards receiving and rushing, 5 total touchdowns.
I thought it was outstanding. It was good to see him finish some runs and then also be extremely explosive in the throw game and being able to get those balls to the middle of the field and turn those passes into home runs. It was awesome.
Coach, you said this week that you were going to determine a starting quarterback. What did you learn just watching on the field?
That I think we got two good ones. I think we got some ones, too, that got some skill, and we'll go back and check the tape, and we'll make some decisions.
The fact that Garrett finished out the game, does that mean anything?
Absolutely not.
You said that this week would be trying to figure out who the starting quarterback would be potentially, and you just said how both played really good. But with Sean Tucker, why did you keep deciding to give him the ball in the first half? What were you seeing on some of those outside zone runs that were, you know, just making – him get a lot of space in the open field?
You know, it's interesting how he had more space in the first half based off of some things that were going on in the throwing game. There's such a balance. You can take things away. Those guys, defensive coaches, offensive coaches, it's a chess game out there. So there's are things that can be taken away. But when you're hitting some passes and you're getting the ball pushed downfield a little bit, it kind of opens up some of those running lanes inside.
How much can you learn from about your quarterbacks today? Or how much of it is just like it's time to make a choice and, you know.
You can learn a lot. That's why I have to go back and check the tape. There's certain things that they need to be doing on certain plays. Now, if they don't do those things and they turn around and put the ball somewhere else and their success, yeah, that's good for the average fan. But when we're looking at the technical things, the things that are going to matter when the competition is not like that. You know, competitional advantage, a competitive advantage maybe this week. But there's going to be weeks when it's going to be even. There's going to be weeks when the opponents have a better advantage when it comes to personnel. So we need to be technically right. So those are the things we'll go back and look at.
When you leave here today, do you feel like you know who it is? Or is it close enough that you really have to look at the tape? And
it's fair enough that I need to go back and look at the tape. It's not something that you want to do on emotion. You want to take the emotion completely out of it, even though it's a very emotional decision.
I saw Andre Schmidt set the career field goal record here today. Just considering everything he's accomplished since he came here as a walk-on, I just wonder if you could share some thoughts on seeing him get the record here today.
You know, the things I think, when I think about Andre, I think about the very first time, and this was Sterling Hoffrichter. He comes up to me and he goes, "Coach, the new kicker is really good." I'm like, "Which kicker?" He points to Andre. I said, "You're my kicker." He goes, "Coach, he's really good." I said, "Well, how good is he?" And Sterling said, "He's better than me." And when he said that, I looked at Sterling and I said, "He's not better than you until I say he's better than you." He says, "Coach, he's good." I said, "All right, we'll let him kick next time, not this time."
Scored 62. Obviously, it's not, you know, Florida State or somebody out there, but does this say anything about your team? Do you feel
good about that?
You know, it wasn't about the points, because normally in these games I would play this game a different way and be, you know, just a different way. I'll leave that as the statement. But we needed to take a good look at two cats, and we needed to do it without our own personnel. And, you know, we were rolling the dice on a lot of stuff, too. Those guys could have got hurt, you know, and we had some guys banged up. But it's important to get that done, because now we can't do it anymore. We have to know what we've got, and now we've got to rally the troops and get ready to finish out our season.
Does that mean next Friday we're not going to see both guys?
Say that again.
Does that mean next Friday we're not going to see both guys?
We're going to have to see. You know, one guy is going to start, and let's see if he finishes.
Two guys that didn't play today, Taj and Garrett Williams. Status on them moving forward?
I would think that they should be good. Taj, we have to see. I think Garrett will be a green light go.
Four holding penalties, four false starts, and then four face masks.
If I'm not mistaken.
All right, go ahead. What's the question?
I guess you said it was freshmen. It was youth and stuff.
They weren't all freshmen.
Of course. Like
67, 60. Go ahead.
How do you go about handling that? What do you tell your guys to sort of get rid of that?
We talked about it at halftime. We talked about it at the end of the game. And we'll talk about it tomorrow. You know, that's too many. We'll discuss that with the family.
All right, the coach montage is brought to us by the Spotify Green Room app. Go to your iOS or Android stores and download the app. It's free. All you need is a username, an email address, and a password. You sign up there. You can follow us at QS Militia, and you sign up for notifications. You'll find out when we go live for fan feedback for football and basketball. And you don't have to just follow us. You can do your own thing, too. You can start your own thing up. You can go a number of topics from sports to politics, pop culture, music, movies, whatever you want to do on that. You can start your own thing, have people follow you, and create your own room. So go to the iOS or Android store now. Download the app. It's free. Spotify, Green Room. All right, Joe. So let's hit this montage up. Obviously, a couple things. I just go in order, but there's a couple things out of order that we'll try to hit at once, mainly the quarterback stuff, okay?
Right.
So, mm-hmm. All right. First, Tucker. Obviously, stealing all the headlines, okay? The dude's an animal. We know he's an animal. 253 all-purpose yards for him, 121 receiving, 132 on the ground, 40.3 average through the air on a long screen pass, with just the yards after catch were all him on that pass from Garrett Schrader, and then over 10 yards a carry on the ground. I will say the offensive line seemed to do a fantastic job. I don't know if he was ever really touched on any of some of those sprints, man. The holes were huge for him. And, you know, you could have driven a freaking bus through him. Obviously, a phenomenal day for him. And, you know, we were looking at the possibly tying the record for rushing touchdowns in a game, which Jim Brown holds. But, he was benched after, I think, one series in the second half. First of all, we don't want to get him hurt.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Right? So that's the main thing. Right. Obviously, he showed us what he could do. Then what do you got to prove after that? Syracuse football tweeted Sean Tucker's five TDs tied for second most in a single game by a Cuse player with Floyd Little, 926-64 versus Canvas, Walter Reyes, 10-603 versus Notre Dame, and Emba Edital, 11-26-16 at Pitt. So some elite company there, obviously, with Floyd Little and the rest. But a really good day for him, a really good day. And you can't take anything away from him, even though it's Albany. What do you say, Joe?
Yeah, he pretty much kind of is in a league of his own out there. If you look at the box score, I mean, Jarvion Howard, he averaged...
He had 76 or something?
Six carries for 76 yards. So he averaged 12.7, and we rushed for 286. So I think there would have been a bunch of running backs that maybe not doing the same thing, but we were going to be able to run against them. And the only reason that Sean Tucker was in there as long as he was, as you heard him, Coach Babers, talking about the quarterbacks, to give both quarterbacks a good, fair look. They both got to be out there with the first teams and the starters. And, you know, as much as I didn't want guys to get hurt and everything, it's really not a fair shake if Tommy gets, you know, the first string or, you know, and then Garrett comes in and Sean Tucker gets benched and maybe, you know, so got to give him the fair look. So that's probably why, you know, I don't really want to get ahead of ourselves here, but that's what, you know, you heard Coach say about that, that he probably would have played this game in a different way if it was a different situation. And I think he was basically saying that is that he knew that, you know, he didn't mean to run up the score like this, and he probably would have played it in a more respectful manner and probably would have got the starters out a little bit earlier if it was, you know, one quarterback and they knew their identity a little bit better than what they do today.
Okay, switching gears but staying on the same topic, okay? To play devil's advocate here, we're going to talk about the quarterbacks here for a little bit. Obviously, it's the, I mean, that's the main focus of of fans, of media, of this team, of, you know, so unfortunately we got to do it again. Just to play devil's advocate to what you said, first of all, he didn't, I'm not making excuses, I'm just saying he didn't play as much with Garrett as he did with Tommy, okay? But also, if we really want to see what the quarterbacks can do, there's at least two other running backs that could use the burn in a game like this, just like the quarterbacks could use the burn of, you know, half a game each. Okay, you could have put in, you know, Jarvion Howard more, Abdul Adams, you know, could have been played a lot more instead of Sean Tucker, because what ended up happening is it became the Sean Tucker show, and it didn't become about Tommy in Garrett. In my opinion, it became about Sean Tucker, and I'm not knocking that. I mean, it's fine, but he says he was going to play it differently, which means, you know, he wouldn't have run up the score like that. But who was running up the score was Sean Tucker. He was the one running up the score. So, I mean, just for, on the flip side of that, you would think that maybe pulling Tucker a whole lot earlier, you could have gotten an Abdul Adams a little bit more burn, and obviously, I think you could have. Use the quarterbacks more in the passing game. That's where I stand with
it. Well, I mean, I also think it has a little bit to do with the fact that, I mean, they moved around some offensive linemen, and you know, based off the offensive game that we had against Rutgers, I think that we really had to come out and give our first team, you know, a good look for a long time to get them kind of, I mean, they need to practice, like he said, other than playing against the people from our team, you know, they need the practice against, you know, other teams as well. So I think that we took that time to, you know, really, get that, but I do understand the running back portion of it. I can't say or speak for all the other, I think the offensive line, the starters should have been out there, and obviously receivers and all that kind of stuff, because Taj didn't play, so everybody other than Taj needs practice as well. So he could have played it a little bit differently as far as the running backs were concerned, for sure.
All right, so moving on to the quarterbacks themselves. Garrett Schrader, 11 for 15 for 190, averaged 12.7. Both quarterbacks had one TD, one interception. Tommy DeVito, 6 for 9, 147, 16.3 on the average. Garrett Schrader completing 73.3, Tommy percent completing 66.6. To me, it was very even. They both had a touchdown. They both had an interception. I think it's clear, Joe, what each of them are good at, and you know, we've already talked about it. Obviously, Garrett Schrader a little bit more versatile with his feet. There was one play specifically where you saw that, and he ran for two touchdowns. So
running backs weren't too happy about them, but
yeah,
he had to do what he had to do.
Yeah, obviously,
he's fighting for a certain job.
He is, and I thought that it was pretty good as far as the competition went. I still thought it was pretty equal. I actually put out a poll at the end of the game, and I said on Twitter, said the starting QB is clear. A, Tommy should start. B, Schrader should start. Or just kidding, it's not clear. And out of 120 votes, just kidding, meaning that it's not clear, 29%. Schrader should start came in at 28%, and Tommy should start came in at 43%. So I think that not even through watching them play, but how the game was represented to me watching it with Tommy starting the game and taking most of the first half, getting taken out of the game for a series because of it, he was rattled, and then coming back in instead of letting Garrett Schrader just finish it off and keeping Tommy safe, it's clear to me that, yes, Tommy is going to be our starter at Liberty. We're going to be back to a one quarterback team, and we'll have, like Coach said, we'll see who starts the game. We'll see if they can finish it. And it's going to come down to that. That it's going to be Tommy's team as long as he can hang on to the ball, as long as he doesn't make bad choices, as long as he's not putting the team in a bad spot. The short leash is there, but Tommy's going to be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think that the pass to Damian Alford for a 73-yard touchdown, I think, really was the X factor to me. I mean, like I said, yeah. Garrett Schrader didn't look bad. And if you put their stats together, I mean, 17 to 24 for 337 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions. Obviously, you have one interception goes through receiver's hands, which, I mean, we could talk about that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it. We it may come up in fan feedback, but we have to hit that.
Yeah, we will. Okay. But yeah, I mean, when you look at that, that's not a bad line. And then when you look at the rushing, it'd be 14 rushes for 70 yards and two touchdowns. So, I mean, you take their combined stats, and I'll take that quarterback.
No kidding.
Every week, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely.
It's really, really tough, but I just think the one thing that stood out, I mean, either of them could have just turned around and handed the ball off to Sean Tucker or Jarvion Howard. Exactly. Either of them could have thrown little screen passes to Sean Tucker as he goes for three catches for 121 yards, 40-yard average as far as receiving goes, right? Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, both quarterbacks can do that. I think Garrett Schrader looked a little bit better on his feet, even though Tommy did average more per rush. Really, the only really one play that stood out was that bomb to Alford. Even pretty much short to mid-range throwing and running the ball, I'd say that I might give it to Garrett, but when you have to bring the long ball into effect, I think that that's where Tommy gets him. I don't think Garrett really has shown that he could throw a good long ball.
He was under threw a couple under pressure in an awkward situation for both of them.
I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, I haven't seen it yet either, which is what I'm saying. Just remember the two that were thrown short, they were almost back-to-back, and you could argue, you know, pass interference or not on those. But
yeah, I know. I mean, that's up for grabs. I mean, in that type, when you're winning like that too, I think that has something to do with it. Yeah, but
yeah, But
I think that was the play.
That was the play. I think I totally agree with you, but I don't know what the stat is. But Tommy's thrown a bunch of those. That was the one that actually was caught and scampered in for a touchdown. And it was a beautiful drop. I mean, it was.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, he either drops him in or he might go a little over, but he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions throwing the deep ball. So, again, I mean, that's the one plus. And, I mean, as much as Babers wanted to play coy in that,
you could hear
he said, you know, you saw that Sean had a couple things open when the passing game was moving in the first half. Well, who exactly are you alluding to? Because I think that Tommy's passing in the first half was a little bit better than Schrader's. So, again...
Schrader's never been put in a position to where he could get in the game, start his game from the drop of the green flag, so to speak.
Right.
But, you know, he hasn't been, he's always coming in off the bench.
Yeah. I mean, even when he says it, he says, like you said, he's still dodging the question. I still don't think that he believes that that he's not going to play two quarterbacks. I think it's going to be situational. And even like you said, I mean, this game, we were never really in a pressure situation. We're not going to be in games like this where you can just hand the ball off and throw a little. I mean, Sean Tucker's not going to do this against, if anything, this type of game is going to give every type of reason for the next team that we're playing to make sure Sean Tucker doesn't do absolutely anything and make everybody else beat you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. So, I mean, I think it's clear based upon what he said in just history in the game. I think he's going to start with Tommy. But again, like to your point, it is not safe because if Tommy does not use his feet and the passing game isn't working for him, then you got to get Garrett in there because he's going to run and he's still going to keep the defense honest.
Yeah, I think he will. And like you said, we just got to see a little bit more on the accuracy throwing deep. And obviously, you got to have the deep ball. You have to have it.
I mean, you'd like to have it there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So. Real quick, scoring 62 points. I think, obviously, I think my prediction was 38-10. We'll do those on Tuesday, but way exceeded my expectations on the offense. Now, is that due to? Well, we know what it's due to. Okay, Sean Tucker and
That's really why it is.
That I mean, you're right, but I mean, Albany not exactly. I mean, it didn't look great because on defense.
Because we just lost our records, and everyone really knew that we should have won. I mean, as far not everybody, but like those players and those coaches pretty much probably knew that they messed up and they could have done things a little bit better. And the players, same thing on some ends, but I mean, I think that, you know, you lose a game like that when we went over and we talked about it and you go back and you look at it as a team, you know, you let that one go. That's one that you let get away. And that happens, but
yeah,
you know, unfortunately, you know, for Albany, they're up next and we're still in a quarterback controversy. So we're going to play our starters all the way through the third quarter and they obviously weren't going to stand a chance. So,
yep. So coach is going to go back and check the tape. And then we'll see Tommy start at Liberty, and we'll just go from there. Look, I do have one gripe before we move on, and that is that every week so far, I just tend to be more and more confused. And not that I'm, like, bewildered by anything, but I'm just like, I don't know. I guess I'm just second-guessing a lot of things, and it's just – the identity isn't there. I don't feel like this team is ready for ACC play. I mean, we'll see against Liberty. Like that's what I keep doing. Well, we'll see against X.
They're not ready for every team in the ACC. And like I said, there's a lot of teams on our side that look good. You know, thankfully, I think. I mean, it's crazy in the day where you say, well, thankfully, our first game is at Florida State, right?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah. As far as ACC,
They're not exactly lighting it up.
Liberty's going to be a tougher game than that, and hopefully we can build off, I mean, this momentum. And I mean, obviously, the players, you know, you think you're going to win, and you go and you win like this, and hopefully that confidence and that momentum can bring you into the next game. But again, like I said, I mean, if you don't think that Liberty's going to say, okay, we got to stop Sean Tucker, like.
Oh, that's, yeah, obviously.
So Tommy's going to have to keep the ball and make some plays, or whoever's at quarterback is going to have to against this team, because Liberty – is better than all the teams we've played so far, I believe.
Absolutely. Andre Schmidt tying the school record for 60 with 60 field goals. That's pretty awesome for someone who came on as a walk-on and is becoming won the Lou Groza Award and now just a almost an automatic. I mean, he's had his moments, but you feel really comfortable with Andre Schmidt in there, kicking field goals and extra points and whatnot. So congratulations to him. That's really cool. Also, real quick, before we put the icing on the cake here, Taj Harrison and Garrett Williams, he's saying
Kingsley
Kingsley Jonathan too. Yeah, he wasn't there either. So right. We didn't hear anything about him in the presser, though. They didn't ask about him. They asked about Taj and Garrett. So looking like they rested Taj just to be safe. They figured they probably didn't need him. And I believe probably the same thing. It could be the same thing with all three of them.
See, I don't know.
You're not sure about that, huh?
No, because when they did ask him, he said that the one he was worried about was Taj. And I don't know if he was hurt in the last game or if this was some type of, you know, injury that happened during the week. But the way, I mean, he was dressed out
there. Yeah, it was. It happened.
Wasn't dressed. He wasn't dressed. Garrett and Kingsley Jonathan were dressed. So
right.
I hope it wasn't a situation where it's like a hammy or a calf where he pulled something in practice and now we got to wait and see. But I know he did tweet that he'll be back for Liberty. So, and I know Garrett Williams and Kingsley Jonathan were both suited up, probably because they're captains and, you know, and they're probably could play if need be. But, and Chris Elmore, too. So, I mean, you look at it.
Yeah, we knew about Chris Elmore, though. That could be a couple more weeks still.
Those are four of our, like, better players, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a D1AA school, but, I mean, that did allow other people to come in and get some playing time and help as well. So
in the whole game allowed people to come in and play, you know, so
Adrian Cole looked good.
Yep. Neil Nunn was out there, got a penalty, but he was out there getting warmed up. So that's right. All right. 16 penalties for a school record, 164 yards. That's not exactly the record you want. Obviously, that goes without saying. And also, if you do that against any of the next opponents for the rest of the season, you can kiss that victory goodbye because you're not going to overcome that. There's no way. The lack of discipline was very disappointing, especially against a school like this. I know they were, you know, flip-flopping quarterbacks and whatnot. And I mean, but there's no excuse at this point for that, in my opinion. Three of the penalties, one of them wiped out a really good punt return that looked like it was down at the one, but we never really got to see because it was called back, which was about 50 yards or so. There was a 40-yard Tucker run, and then there was a 68-yard touchdown pass to Anthony Quealy that was wiped out too. So, I mean, this score could have been in the 70s for crying out loud, or close to it. Anyway, I can't remember if they scored on those drives. They probably did, so maybe it wouldn't have been. But anyway, in any event, I mean, Joe, this is terrible. Okay, I'd say that most of this is on the coaches. Like, I don't know what is going on. Do you clean this up in a week or two? I mean, is that possible? I mean, this has been a problem, not just against early in the season, but just in general, it's been a problem past couple of years.
Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, I mean, we talked about the penalties last week when we played against Rutgers, when Rutgers had 4 for 40 and we had 8 for 55. Like, we talked about the turnover. They got to clean the turnovers up. They got to, you know what I mean? We talked about that. And then what did they do? They came out and they doubled down. And they had, what'd you say, 16 for 164 or whatever?
They had eight in each half. Yeah. They didn't even clean it up in the second half.
Ridiculous amount of face masks.
Yeah,
A different amount of the ridiculous amount of holds. I mean, I just don't.
Like, why?
That's got to be the one thing. I thought after last week and losing to Rutgers like that and having some penalties actually, you know, hurt you to the point where you can't, you know, you'd think that would be something to clean up, and it just got worse. So, again, I hope that that would be enough for me as a head coach, especially against Albany, to be like, okay, I'm glad you won, but you guys are still going to be – this is still going to be a first. There's going to be some rough practices. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some things going on because you can't do that. Like, to what you alluded to, I mean, not only – you talk about the 160 whatever penalty yards, but you talk about the penalty, you talk about the yards taken away. You're talking over 300 yards. So,
yeah, if you add them up.
Yeah. So you can't do that. You can't do that against Liberty. You can't do that against any team in the ACC.
Nobody from here on out, period. I don't even know if they had to beat Ohio if they did that. I mean, obviously, in hindsight, you don't, you know, we're playing, you know, who knows, you know, but
because,
still.
I mean, a lot of things, because the thing, too, is a lot of things with penalties is are they timely?
Right, exactly.
If you get a holding call in the first down on first down, but you still get a first down, then that penalty didn't kill you, right? So realistically, when you're playing against a D1AA school, they're not going to kill you, but it doesn't mean you continue to do it.
Right.
So, again, that's definitely got to be a point of emphasis. And obviously, you know, there's still things we got to worry about. Just because we go out and we win 62-24 and we run like that doesn't mean that everything's fixed.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right, fan feedback is brought to us by none other than Spotify Green Room. As I mentioned before, go to your iOS or Android store, download the app. It's free. Get there, follow us, sign up for the notifications, and when we go live, you can hear us. You get the notification, you come on, you can either hang out in the green room and you can talk, you can shoot the breeze with everybody else in there, you can shoot the breeze with us. I'll be monitoring it. And you can request to speak, unmute yourself, make yourself known and speak. And you don't have to just listen to us. You can follow other people, you can get in their green rooms, everything, anything you can imagine, any topic you can imagine, it's there. And you don't have to just follow people and do their thing. You can do your own thing as well and have people in your green room and interact with you. You could do a little Syracuse post game, rant and have people on there. So you do whatever the hell you want. Go to the iOS or Android stores, download the app now. It's free. Come on already. All right, let's take a look, see what I got. As you can imagine, not a ton. Two things to take away from this game from @dbone75. Two things to take away from this game on Twitter. One, the O-line didn't play great. Two, this team is very undisciplined. We need to be very worried about this team the rest of the season. I thought the O-line played okay. They played phenomenal in the run game, I think. I don't think it was terrible, but he says they didn't play great. But I've seen other comments from him on Twitter throughout the game. What do you think, Joe? Am I giving him too much credit?
Well, I think that there was just some breakdowns, and the fact that I think that, to be perfectly honest with you, there were some players on this Albany team. I thought the second quarterback that came in was a little bit better. They do have a couple of receivers. That Alexander was all right. Didn't know he was a freshman, but I don't know if he, you know, stuck out to you or whatever, but Jared Verse, the number 96, the defensive end that they had.
We talked about him last Tuesday.
Yeah, and he stuck out. I mean, he made some plays, and on top of that as well, he almost ran down Sean Tucker. I mean, one of his longer runs, you know, he outran a D-back, and he was the closest one to catching him. He was the one that almost caught Sean Tucker for a tackle for loss when Sean Tucker had the offensive face mask that was on him. So, and he's a freshman for Albany, so... talented guy, he's got speed, and I think that he actually posed some threats or some problems on the line, especially when he was on Vettorello's side, since he's, you know, switched for this game with service. So I think that there was a couple times where there showed some issues with him, but again, I mean, ACC guys, they're going to be just like him or better. So I'm worried about the passing game. As far as the offensive line again, but the rushing game, I think for sure is better this year. And also, I mean, even Chris Blight, I mean, he got called on, I think, three penalties in this game too. So, I mean, everybody's kind of in on the action when it comes to the penalties the last 2 weeks. So I'm right there with them. They played okay.
Played okay. All right. If not now, when 84, Tommy is definitely QB1 after this game, as everyone said, penalties were ridiculous. Only a couple were questionable. Defense was awesome per usual. I would like to see more from the receivers. Sean Tucker definitely deserves the 44 if he can repeat that against Liberty. Go Cuse. Well, yeah. I mean, is there anything to be said about the competition? We know, though, Sean Tucker is good. We already know that. And I don't think it needs to be proven. But when you start talking about the 44, I mean, what's the threshold, right? So,
right.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it. You know, I haven't. It hasn't really crossed my mind, you know, obviously until yesterday when everybody is bringing it up. But, you know, yeah, Tommy's definitely the starting quarterback. I don't think it's a question. I think we've all, through watching these games, and if you're listening to the coach montage or the press conference yourself, you kind of already had that feeling, right? And, I mean, just the fact that Garrett didn't start this game just solidified it for me. I was like, yeah, I mean, okay, what are we going to do? How are they going to work this one this week? And I guess the plan was first half for Tommy, second half for Garrett. So, anyway.
I mean, he came in way before that, though, didn't he?
He did, but Tommy got quarter. Yeah, but Tommy got rattled, too, one time. So
Tommy came back in.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, and that, you know, he's got a good point, too, because we're not talking about, like, there should have been a receiver competition when it came to this game as well. I mean, I think that we kind of missed the – it was easy to just hand the ball to Sean Tucker. And it's hard to just say, oh, don't run the ball, right? But, like, at the end of the day, this is a perfect opportunity with Taj out for younger guys and other receivers to come in and try to, you know, prove themselves. Yeah, I thought that, you know, I mean, Damian Alford, he had one catch for 73 yards and a touchdown, right? Huh?
Courtney Jackson, guys like
Courtney
that.
Jackson, right. Quealy, I mean, yeah. You know, he's in there, but like Sherrod Johnson, he's been starting.
In Quealy's defense, his touchdown got called back, so.
Yeah, he got called back on a Luke Benson hold, which
hopefully he's not okay, too.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Sherrod Johnson needed to prove that he's starter worthy. You know, we got a Rondé Gadsden. I mean, another one, too, Devon Cooper, who we talked about. He was out there, number 25. He had a 3 catches for 26 yards, and after Trevor Pena, he's a good returner, but he doesn't look to me like a great slot receiver, and he's really short.
You want to talk about it now?
Yeah, might as well. That interception.
It came at Pena. The only thing I noticed, and Joe, you brought up some great points about it when we talked about it yesterday after the game, but the one thing I noticed was it came at him at like 200 miles an hour. He's freaking right there. You know, right. Way too fast. That was it. Hit his hands. Yeah, it hit his hands, but it got launched out of a cannon. So you know, I put blame on both of them, Joe. But Joe convinced me otherwise because he had some great points. Go ahead.
So this is the problem, right? And it's more of a psychology thing when it comes to coaches because, you know, there's going to be the receiver coaches and the receivers out there that are like, oh, well, it hit your hands. You're supposed to catch it,
right? Which is what we're told in Pop Warner and everything.
Right, which every receiver knows that there's some ridiculous passes that you go and try to get your hands on, and just getting your hands on it is pretty much a win, let alone trying to catch it, right? Because it was just a bad pass. And if you flip it on the flip side, if you look at a quarterback coach is always going to tell a quarterback, you got to know your receivers, right? You got to know how tall they are, where they like the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give it to them in stride, you know, everything like that. I mean, everything about you know, being an efficient quarterback is, especially if you want to get some yards after the catch, is getting the guys the ball so that they don't have jump up,
right?
You know, expose themselves
in stride,
right? Because they're going to catch it, they're going to hit the ground, they're going to get tackled,
right?
Or they're going to get blasted in the ribs, or you know, so right. You want to keep it to where they can catch it in stride, continue to run, maybe make a move when they catch it, those kind of things, and that's knowing your receivers, knowing how they run routes, and everything like that. So, you know, you can go both ways at it. You know, everyone, I mean, I would probably go, you know, 50-50, 60-40, just because, you know, looking at Trevor Pena, he just hasn't proven to me that he's an actual receiver. It looks like an undersized running back who returns, but we try to use his skill set in the slot receiver role, and that ball was just way too high for him, made him have to stop and jump, and also, like you said, he threw it way too hard as well. So that's, you know, a little bit of Tommy not knowing his receiver and throwing it too fast. And obviously, you know, Traber, I mean, to me, just isn't a slot receiver or receiver. So,
yeah, tough. You know, and they're probably not practicing together too much either. You know, on the flip side of that, Tommy's not throwing the ball to him often in in practice. At R Files 90, there's only so many answers you can get from a game like this. Again, with the QBs, this is why I thought Babers should have used this game to get Schrader used to running the offense in game situations and then really test him against Liberty to see if he or Tommy is QB1. So I didn't know what really to take away from it either. And it's because of the competition. And I'm so glad that these games are over. I told Joe yesterday, I'm like, you know, I don't like these gimme games. Yeah, they're fun at first. You know, you're watching your team go out there and strut their stuff. They're walking around with their chests puffed out. They're in the dome, by the way. Not a lot of people in the dome, but it did not matter. Everybody who showed up there was so loud again. It's so good. Yep. It's so good. So thank you to all of you who showed up and made noise. It was definitely did not go unnoticed watching it through the TV besides all of the silver I saw. But, I mean, what can you take away? What can you take away, Joe, really, from a game like this? Like, I told you, I would like to reel these back to one and play another Liberty-type team, you know? Maybe, you know, I don't know, more Big Ten or whatever, you know, whatever. They got that alliance now, right? So there's an alliance. I guess we could set up those games. What do you think?
I mean, in hindsight, you want to set these games up a little bit. Like I wish this season and the schedule was in a different order. Like, I wish we would have started the season
with Albany. Yes.
Yeah. Like, Albany, yeah. Ohio, Rutgers, Liberty, yes. Right?
Yeah, I think
that would have been cool for me. I think that's a good, you know, transition, a steps up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that part of that kind of hurt a little bit. I think maybe decisions by the coaches. But the one thing I can take away from this game is that it's noticeable that there is the leadership. I mean, you can call the super seniors. I know Garrett Williams is a good leader. Mikel Jones. Just the fact that, again, I know it's Albany, but you saw the excitement out there. You saw them out there.
They needed a little confidence booster anyway.
They needed a little confidence booster, but the captains and the leadership on that team didn't allow them to, you know, take this game for granted or to, you know, get disinterested. Everyone that was in there was still trying, even down to the last play, Jarvion Howard wanting to get that touchdown. And everybody on defense was just hyped all game. So the one thing that you can take away is I feel like, and again, I know that it's just losing to Rutgers and like going to Albany and everything, but I just don't see a situation which the leadership allows, you know, this team to pretty much give the season up, which hopefully is in turn helping the coaches, because you obviously don't want, you know, to the coaches to lose the team, and as far as the team having faith with the coaches that they can actually, you know, help them win. So it's kind of a I scratch your back, you scratch mine type situation, and I just hope that that those seniors and those captains and the leadership that we have on this team can allow us to get through, you know, some bad times, because I think there are going to be some hard times, you know. We're going to have some tough games.
Yeah, absolutely, as we always will, being who we are and who we play. But, you know, this team fought through a 1-10 season pretty decent. I mean, there wasn't a ton of, you know, things to be excited about last year. So,
no, I get it.
But with that said, we're already at 2 wins, so we're already ahead of last year. We can put that behind us now, right? And we can move on. But yeah, absolutely. Gotta be. Someone's got to command the field on both sides of the ball. And as the team progresses, or as the season progresses, we're going to see those leaders step up.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to say, and hopefully from this, you can also take away the fact that when you do look at our defense and what we've done this year, so far it's been pretty impressive. Albeit,
oh, yeah.
Ohio lost to Duquesne. Rutgers, don't know how good they're going to be. But, I mean, when you look at it overall, I feel like there's a little – I have pretty good confidence that this defense is going to be able to keep us in games as long as we can score.
As long as we can keep them off the field and move the ball. Move the ball, put points on the board, whatever it takes. Obviously, you see, Coach –
I don't care if Andre Schmidt has 90 field goals at the end of the season.
Yeah, well, you got to move the ball, and that's what we did. What we failed to do last year, man. They did the fast paced stuff, and it just got old. The defense was like, oh my gosh, I hadn't even taken my helmet off yet. I gotta go back out there. You know, I mean, it was just too much. But they're doing a little bit of a hybrid type, would call it. You know, between the fast paced stuff and taking the time reading the defense and things like that. So it's a momentum thing, and they play on that, and I think they've done a really good job of it so far this year. So, and that's on the coaches. Coaches are sending the signals out. So, at Cuse Waterboy, besides Tucker being worthy of the 44, I feel like we learned very little about this team today. Got to cut down on the penalties as better competition will take advantage. Liberty is a huge game now, and a W can get some fans back and maybe see a true QB1 emerge and take the reins. So, yeah, well, right. We'll know after Liberty, right?
Yeah, right.
We'll know.
Sure we will.
Yeah, right. We'll know after Liberty. Tucker getting worthy of the 44. Look, I think Tucker can work towards the 44. I don't think I gauge it off of a UAlbany game, and that's just. I'm not trying to be jerk or put Tucker down. Obviously, we know he's a beast. Obviously, not the average running back can even do that against a college football team, right?
Right.
It takes a good running back to even do that against UAlbany, no doubt. Liberty is a huge. Go ahead.
I was gonna say this 44 thing. I don't know. Like, I just feel like we should leave it alone, right? We got three guys that got statues outside. Some of them are Hall of Famers in college and in the pros.
In both.
Like, why don't we just, like, leave? Because at the end of the day, we've used it as some type of recruiting tool without successfully bringing any huge running back.
Yeah, who was the last one? Who was the last one? It was a flop, kind of, mostly. Who was it?
Who wore
44? Was it Rob Conrad? He wasn't the last one, was he?
God, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I put us both on the spot. Should have kept my mouth shut. Anyway.
Yeah, you damn sure should have. But either way, I mean, what are you going to do, right? Like, I feel like it puts pressure on you. And then, again, we've tried to use it as a recruiting tool, but, like, we haven't gotten anybody from it. So, what are we doing? Yeah. So, what are we doing?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, it's never too late to break it out. If you know, I don't know who votes on there, who determines it, but whoever does, if they determine it, they determine it. But, you know, he has a couple of those games in the ACC. I mean, break it out. I mean, I don't have a problem with that, but we'll just see. Cut down the penalties. Yes.
Yeah, Rob Conrad, last one, 95-98.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Liberty is a huge game now, as Anthony says. And we got to get.
It's been a huge game.
It's been a huge game. We always knew Rutgers and Liberty were going to be huge. But to get out of these first four games, and I'll repeat myself again, and as we've already talked about this, to get out of these first four games, 3-1 is exceptional, in my opinion, regardless of the win or loss to Rutgers in a game I thought we should have, would have, could have win. But should have, would have, could have doesn't count. So you're halfway to a bowl game at that point. You've got to obviously pull off maybe one or two upsets, but there's some Easter eggs out there that we might just get. And, you know, we're just going to have to see. The biggest thing is to get an identity, have a starting quarterback, have the team rally around that quarterback, stay healthy, and eliminate the penalties. Seriously, stop with the damn penalties. You're not going to get to a bowl game with that. Joe.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Again, it's become a more important game. I don't want to say must win, but when you look through the schedule,
I think it's a must win.
It might be at this point. Again, I think we looked at it as it needed to be 3-1 because we only saw at most 3 wins in the ACC. I just don't.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure now, but I know that there are some good teams out there for sure, and it's too early in the season to know how good these other ACC teams are. So obviously, going into ACC play 3-1. I know with our show with Tyler and Mike, we talked about that and how, you know, we thought we needed to be 3-1 to get to a bowl game, and starting out 2-2 would kind of put us a little bit back a little bit. So,
I mean, don't they want to prove me wrong? I picked them at 5-7. Prove me wrong.
Liberty's good, bro.
I know. Liberty's good. You know, yeah.
We'll get into that on Tuesday. But.
Yeah, obviously. All right. Next, at KD Racing 15, discipline is very poor. Goes back to another example of poor coaching. Was not impressed with Schrader's performance against a not good D1AA school. Only good drive was in garbage time of the fourth. His mechanics are a little off, and you can tell he still needs to learn the playbook. So I agree to some extent, but I think all in all, at the end of the day, he played pretty good. He had a freaking, he had a ball hiked to him, and he's got his damn head turned, talking to a receiver. You know, I mean, what could have been? What could have come of that drive? I mean, that stuff is he lost 20 something yards on that. So. There was a couple of those things, a couple miscues. Obviously, he's still learning the playbook a little bit. And the mechanics is, you know, look, the kid's been throwing the ball and doing this since he was in Pop Warner. I don't know. You're not going to really change the mechanics of someone at this point. Maybe I'm wrong. But I just don't.
No, I mean, sometimes you get these comments and you'd like them to just allude a little bit more. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Like what? Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
like to think. Well, I mean, I'd like to think that I know football pretty well. But I couldn't watch that game and say that it looks like Schrader needs to learn more of the playbook. I don't know what the playbook is. I mean, that's hard to come out and kind of say, and realistic.
That's true. You're right. To realistically say it, but I imagine that's his downfall right now, in my opinion. And that's just what I've thought. That's just been my inkling the whole time, is that he doesn't have the playbook down totally yet. And I guess you're right. Really, there is nothing that I saw that would tell me that, like just watching that game.
But I just think it's a little bit more than that. I mean, I think that DeVito's been here forever and he just got here. So, I mean, he's still trying to figure out how people play. He just came in the spring. And again, we have talked about how it's kind of a difficult playbook. So there's a lot of things he's trying to catch up on. And again, I think to your point, there were situations like in Ohio where, I mean, you're just trying to win the game, and coach, he knows what Tommy can do. He's probably more confident because, you know, Garrett's new. So again, it's hard for me to come out and say, I mean, could be the playbook. There could be a lot of things, but I think it's just basically being comfortable. And Tommy's been here for what, 4 years, 5 years. So,
I think I want to say five.
I think it comes down to a comfortability factor at this point, and just a knowing somebody a little bit more or a little bit better. That's pretty much it. So
it's the offense too, right? It's the guys around him.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying. It's not just coming down to one person.
Right. Zach on Facebook. You got to get back to top fan status there, buddy. This was the hardest blowout I've ever watched. Dino's is that not true? I mean, I feel like that's so true. Dino's tenure lasting past this year is not looking good. Rumor around the board is Marone has expressed interest in coming back. Take it with a grain of salt. I like Dino, but to be that sloppy is inexcusable. So yeah, it was tough to watch, and it's because of that. It's because of that, the penalties and things like that, and obviously most of that falls on the coaches, but you know, the players know what not to do. And I guess it comes down to situational awareness on a lot of that stuff, and totally unnecessary against a team that you can totally dominate just physically. So I guess that's what was frustrating about it.
Yeah. No. And we had that conversation too, right? Where, you know, there's fans that are talking about Doug Marrone and talking about Dino's on the hot seat and everything like that, you know.
Still too early, in my opinion, for that talk. But I see it, you know.
Oh, 100%.
I see it all over social media. That doesn't social media is not real life, though. So for those of you who haven't figured it out yet.
Right. So, but, you know, we talked about that the other day, right, when we were talking about Doug Marrone and everything. And I just said, you know, there's a lot of people that just they think that this program really hasn't grown that much. But, I mean, you saw the thing that came up on the screen about Dino's record so far, right? 44 and 44.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, maybe it's the years. I don't know. And we will never know. But, you know, you got fans calling for Doug Marrone, wanting Doug Marrone back and all this other stuff. When
what was his record, Joe?
I believe it was 25 and 25 after 4 years.
I thought for sure you'd had that. You keep going.
So it's just one of those things where, I mean, the Robinson era and everything was so bad back then that Doug Marrone going, you know, 25 and 25 and going to two bowl games, you know.
Yep, you're right. You nailed it. 25 and 25.
Kind of at six. What were they? 6 and 6, 7 and 5. Like,
4 and 8, 8 and 5, 5 and 7, 8 and 5. Does that sound right? That's what this says.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So, yeah. I mean, and what did he do after his 4 years? He only got hired as a head coach at the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
For going 25 and 25 for 4 years.
And then Jacksonville, right? And he went to Jacksonville.
And then he went to Jacksonville, and now I believe he's a coach at Alabama. But at the end of the day, I mean, we were in such desperate measures that Doug Marrone came in and went 25 and 25 and got this little two-star Ryan Nassib from Pennsylvania. And Alec Lemon became – and Marcus Sales became like some of the better receivers. Alec Lemon, he broke records at Syracuse for receiving records.
Yeah.
And he went 25 and 25. And I think that was in the Big East. So – it's a situation. It's definitely, he was definitely in the Big East. I'm sorry.
It was,
100%.
Yeah.
Because, so, and he got a job as a head coach in the NFL. Now, here we are with Dino, five years and what, 2-3 games, and he's 500, and people are calling for his head. So, again, this is kind of what happens. I mean, kind of when Pasqualoni got ran out, right? I mean, you got to give somebody a little bit of time other than 3 or 4 years to be able to. To get something going and get a culture going. And, you know, we are better off now. I mean, you're talking about 500 in the ACC versus 500 in the Big East. So I think that we're better off now than what we were, or just as good off now as where we were, or if not better, when Doug Marrone went to the NFL. And it's sad that, you know, you look at it and it's the same thing, but they're judged at two different scales because of, you know, just a little taste of some bowl games or a 10-3 season.
So. Well, now he's 45 and 44.
Well, yeah, now he's over 5. Yeah.
So, for what it's worth,
And I know some fans are going to be like, "Oh, well, let's see where he is at the end of the year, right?"
Well, I mean, that's fair. That's fair, because I mean, I'm worried about it myself, I guess. So, let's see. Okay, speaking of. Anthony on Facebook, Dino should be let go in December. If this program can't recruit a P5 level with the rest of the ACC, then get used to 4 and 8 until 2032. Not happy. Anthony not happy with the production Dino's putting out. But look, I have given Coach Babers the benefit of the doubt. I like him a lot. I think culturally, he has been an excellent for this program. I just wonder, some of me wonders if he's, I mean, and this is just outside looking in, if he's a little bit, how do I say? I don't want to say lenient. I don't know, but maybe he's a little bit, maybe he needs to yell more. Maybe he needs to be a little bit tougher, a little bit hard nosed. And he doesn't come across like that to me. And I think that maybe he should be. And I think he should definitely show it more. And he started to a little bit. You know, obviously we've seen his frustrations in the loss, especially to Rutgers. I mean, he was not happy. And with that said, I want to see a meaner, more tough Dino Babers instead of the father figure that's kind of seems like he's, you know, going around patting everybody on the head. I mean,
that's tough, dude.
I know.
Well, that's the thing.
I know there's a fine line. There's a fine line between being both of those now.
Well, I mean, and I guess my thing is that I wonder if, you know, the older coaches or the more, you know, I mean, he comes from a military family, so I'm sure he's no nonsense.
Yeah.
And then you see some nonsense and you're like, what's going on?
Exactly.
And you wonder sometimes if it's just the state of, you know, the athletes nowadays.
Are they fragile? Are they too freaking fragile? Like, come on, man. Look, like I mean,
I saw a quote the other day from Nick Saban talking about, you know, you see these high school players, you know, transferring 3-4 high schools in their high school. He's like, I don't want them. They can't come over. They can't withcome adversity. He's like, I want guys that are going to come in and withcome adversity, you know, overcome adversity. You go to Alabama, you know, you might not start right from the get go because you're going against the best of the best. And is, are you going to transfer or are you going to come in and develop in 2 or 3 years? And, you know, for Nick Saban, he can say that and he can follow through and he can do that because he puts national championships on the board, on the table, on the plate for Alabama. Sometimes it's tough to be able to come off like that at Syracuse and you can't even guarantee a bowl season. So you wonder sometimes how coaches like that are trans. I don't know. Transforming the way they coach a little bit to be able to
listen. Maybe, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, understand what you're saying, but just through time, coaches were the people who they helped parent away from home. You get yelled at by your coach. You either getting yelled at by your parents or your coach growing up.
No, yeah.
And maybe you got a little butt hurt, but wasn't that motive? Didn't that used to be motivation for kids?
It's challenging them, right? Like, yes. That's what you're supposed to. Yeah.
Yes. Right. I mean,
you want to challenge them to get better, to do better, to learn. Yes, 100%.
And I mean, you don't got to be a jerk about it, obviously. But as right. These kids get older, they need to feel it, they need to hear it, and they need to accept it. Because your coach isn't going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the truth, whether it hurts your feelings or not, and it's supposed to make you better. And I'm not even talking to, we're on a totally different subject. I'm not saying that this is what's happening, but at the end of the day,
who cares? Who goes and go with it?
Yeah, the kids are coddled through high school now so much that they're almost out of reality, and there's not a lot of accountability sometimes. So it comes down to personality. At the end of the day, instead of being taught, it's either in you or it's not. And that
you can go to college, and if you don't like your situation, you can hit the transfer portal and that. Right.
Yeah. Oh, pack up your toys and go home.
The whole system is set up for them to be able to just do this.
Yes, because they're
fight through adversity.
Because right? they're brought up through high school. Some of them, I'm just saying, this happens to think that their shit doesn't stink,
if that's done on purpose.
Do what?
I wonder if that's done on purpose.
It could be, but anyways, my point is, I want to see a tougher Dino Babers out there, and I hope.
Yep.
I hope we can clean up the penalties. Look, that stuff starts in practice. And I remember when we used to do that crap. Like, you ran. You're like, jeez, I'm crow. I don't want to run.
Yep.
That's the worst. Yep. That's the worst. Make them run. I don't know what else to say about it.
My dad punish saw them. My dad saw my coach grab my face mask. And for the next time I saw him, he asked me what I did wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
So,
yeah.
What'd you do?
That's what my mom would say when she saw me running. What were you running for? I'm 30 seconds late or, you know, whatever. You ran. That's what you did. And it sucked. And you dealt with it. And your coach loved you no matter what at the end of the day.
And
anyway.
then maybe you weren't late next time.
Well, I lived right across the street, too, so there's no excuse for it.
Gosh, you really had no excuse.
Seriously.
Hopefully you learned.
I did learn. I'm not late to anything anymore. See how that works? That's the freaking truth, too. I'm never late to anything anymore. All right?
There you go.
That's what happens. All right, look, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate all of you so much. Thanks for coming in. Help spread the word. Tell your friends. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out of here.
Peace.